Hello and welcome to Sox Talk on the Air right here on SoxTalk.com. I am Mario Scalise coming to you from Chicago, and in California it's Jason Gage with another splendid show. Right?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We've done two straight good shows. Some of the best shows we've done. We're getting better for the stretch run, and it looks like the Chicago White Sox may actually get better for the stretch run. I write them off last week, and what do? In 6 days, they gained 4.5 games on the Detroit Tigers. That's right, they went from 10 games back to 5.5.
They did it with this past week. They didn't start too good losing to the Angels in that one game makeup day, but then they faced the Yankees, take 2 out of 3 from them, sweep the Detroit Tigers, which I'm sure you know everybody knows about. Pretty good week.
Yeah, and the important thing is that they actually had quality starts out of 3 of their starters.
Six runs in the 3-game set in the 3-game series with the Tigers. They gave up 6 runs total.
And that is how you get back to playing winning baseball. Not only did that happen, the team capitalized on errors by Alex Rodriguez in the Yankee series. They won a game they shouldn't have. And really, that game against Kenny Rogers, we possibly won a game we shouldn't have. Although the runs that Burley gave up were because Juan Uribe had a slow turn at second base and we couldn't get the double play turned.
Yes.
So,
but
it was
like the Sox of 2005. They went out there, they waited for the other team to make a mistake. When they made a mistake, they capitalized on it. And the one thing is, you didn't see this long ball approach. You saw just an offense that had better quality at bats, it looked like. They were getting a little more hits. They got a few bunts on, I believe. They actually tried to steal it. Even though in the Yankees series they were thrown out a lot, I think Posada he was on that one game. I think he threw out, 3 or 4 base runners. At least they were being aggressive, and at least they were trying to do something different. And I know Anderson has tried to swipe a few bases over the past week, too. So I think that those were good signs, too.
Yeah, I had no problem with the aggressive. A lot of people complain about it, but my theory is, it's like, for example, yesterday, Brian Anderson, and there's a 1-2 count to Pesetnik. There's 2 outs. It's like the 7th inning, and we send Brian Anderson. He gets thrown out. And people complain, God, we always get thrown out of the bases. And I'd be the first to admit, this team has to have, one of the worst in baseball. I mean, the Tigers are the worst team in steal percentage, and the Sox are right there with them.
But I think when you do it, even if you get caught, and obviously you don't want to get caught, and if you do it a lot, eventually you should just stop trying. But I think at least let the other teams know that we're going to be willing to go in. And even if a team's not very good stealing bases, the other team still has to be on their toes to be able to make those throws and have the pitcher get to the plate quick with it. So and you look at that, the one time Pesetnik got on base in that series against Kenny Rogers. No, not Kenny Rogers. It was against Verlander. He kept on throwing over there, kept on throwing over there, kept on throwing over there. Eventually ended up throwing it away. And
there he was at third base.
So I think just the thought of them running or letting the other teams know that we are going to be aggressive, even if we get thrown out, we're going to keep on running, it's going to keep the other teams on their toes, and that's what the Sox offensively have not been able to do. The only people they've been keeping on their toes is the pitcher because they're afraid of obviously facing a very potent lineup. But outside of that, the defense, not really much. They really haven't had to do much unless, you know, Joey Cora is sending a guy home from second base.
Yeah, I agree with that. You got to put the pressure on, and while I'd like to see us steal at a higher rate, and while I think we're going to need to steal at a higher rate eventually, it's still good to push the envelope. I mean, Alex Cintron pushed the envelope yesterday when he had that first inning, what most people would have considered a double. He turned it on, got to third base, and put the Sox in a position where they were able to get that run when Canerco had the sacrifice fly, a run that would not have scored had he not been aggressive and tested Mags. And then Polanco had trouble getting the ball out of his glove, and we're safe on third base.
Yeah, and that's it right there. Going back to the starters, though, we're going to start off at the top. Because at the top, it's Jose Contreras. You questioned him last week, calling him not an ace. He ended up coming up and shutting you up, at least for a week, with a complete game performance. Probably one of his better outings in the major leagues.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, his first complete game shutout of his career, you got to give him that credit. He stepped up. It's a big game. We needed to set the momentum, and he did exactly that. He gave us the opening series win, and really gave the Sox all the momentum.
The complete game was huge, especially with Mark Burley coming in the day after. I thought when that happened, I was like, this is really important for Mark Burley to know that I'm going to have this game where the day before, no reliever had to come in there. And you know he's on a tight leash because if he wasn't on a tight leash, he would have gone more than 6 innings in game 2.
And the best part about it was it allowed Ozzie to do what I thought was his best managerial job in that game with Mark Burley, where Burley went 6 innings. Burley was able to leave that game with a quality performance.
Yes.
Now, he may not have got a win, but then we were able to do what Ken Williams, I think, envisioned, and that's throw out McDougal, Thornton, Jenks, and shut that team down.
Yes.
And they flat out did their job.
And they have this stuff. You know, going back to Burley, though, he struck out, I believe, 7 guys over the course of 3 innings. And considering he had a low pitch count at that point, I mean, you're talking about being on pace to strike out 21 guys over the course of a game. He slowed down big time. I think he finished with 7 strikeouts. The Tigers hit him in the 4th, 5th, and 6th innings. Does that concern you at all, considering he was so on fire and then they just made more adjustments to him? Because that's what it's all been about Burley. It's about teams are making adjustments to him. And if he's going to be on fire for 3 innings and then get hit hard the following three, that still has to concern some people, I would think.
I think right now Burley's biggest problem is himself. And it's when you get into this type of woe, when you get into this type of funk, it's very hard to get out of it in over the course of a season, and you need to occasionally have some luck. And maybe, yeah, they squared the bats up on him late in that game when he was still out there, and he got away with the pitches, and he ended up getting a quality start, and he's got some momentum, because I think that's, I mean, really, his last 3 starts have not been bad. I know one of them he gave up more runs than you'd like to see,
Yeah.
but if you watch the games, he's definitely been progressing, and overall, you gotta like the way the direction Burley's headed. And I don't know, I mean, I can't say enough how much Contreras stepped up and proved in the fact that he is our frontline guy, although John Garland's been very good for us despite a Yankee start. And then on Sunday night or Sunday afternoon,
Another
we had
surprise.
Freddy Garcia looking bad for about 3 innings of that ball game. He was looking terrible. But those last 3 innings were some of the best baseball I've seen pitched out of Freddy Garcia all season long. He was good. He was throwing strikes. He was getting ahead of the count, and the guys were not squaring him up. And he was getting strikeouts. He was not making mistakes. And when it was 0-2, he'd throw a pitch that was close enough where batters would have to chase. And that is what I want to see. Greg Maddux. I was listening to him being interviewed, and Greg Maddux is talking. And I know the overall baseball philosophy was you're up 0-2, you waste a pitch way. Greg Maddux said that's
No,
bullshit. That is
it
bull.
is, it is.
Your odds are at your very best when a hitter's 0-2. Why would I waste a pitch and put him and bring him back in? Because when he's 0-2, he's thinking he has to protect everything. Oh,
That's
1-2, he gets a little more comfortable, and then all of a sudden you better make a pitch, otherwise it's 2-2, and that's coming from a 300-game winner.
the difference between a strikeout pitcher and a pitcher who just knows how to pitch and wants to win the ball game. That's the difference. When you have a guy 0-2 finishing him off, why are you going to work up your pitch count 2, 3 pitches? If you have the benefit of getting everybody 0-2, why throw 2 extra pitches, 3 extra pitches to each single person that you face when you could just get rid of him in 1 or 2 pitches? And those pitches add up. And the one thing that was nice about Garcia is he had 2 games this week against a great Yankees offense and against a Tigers team that had the best record in baseball, and he stepped up in both occasions. Even though, and I'm going to be the first to admit this, I don't think he has much left. You look at him, he just doesn't seem to have anything. But you have to give him credit for at least stepping up and battling for those 2 games.
Yeah, my theory on Garcia is this. If the Sox are going to do anything, and we obviously had a strong week, we're going to need Contreras to reestablish himself as the ace of the staff. We're going to need John Garland to be the John Garland of last year and the John Garland of the prior 10 starts. We're going to need Javier Vasquez to be closer to what he was 2 starts ago, and I give him credit. He did not have his A control against the New York
No.
Yankees, yet he battled,
He battled.
and he showed a lot there.
Yes.
He definitely, because earlier on in the season, he probably would have gave up 10 runs in that game.
Well, you know what? I think I said this last week. The key to this team, I think, is Burley. I think if Burley pitches to what he's capable of, which, you know, a typical Burley start, you know, from what we all remember is, you know, 7 innings, 2, 3 runs, sometimes 8, 9 innings, just very consistent. If he could get back to where he was, which I think is possible, you have Contreras who has the capabilities of being number one, which he showed this past week. You have Burley, you have Garland as your top three guys. Then it's more or less just Vasquez and Garcia being number fours and five, and I think they're adequate at that, you know, for the most part.
Well, I actually think Vasquez will have to supplant him as our number three until Burley can figure things out.
Yeah, well, no,
Vasquez has that arm.
that's why I think the key is Burley. If Burley keeps on struggling, I don't know if they're going to be going anywhere. I honestly think that the key for the Sox to go anywhere is him, because he's been their big problem. Vasquez at least has been decent. Garcia at least has been decent. Everybody in that rotation has been decent. Burley's been bad. He needs to step up.
I said at the All-Star break, and I still say it today, that if Javier Vasquez pitches like I think he's capable of, this team will be in good position, because it'll have enough starters. It'll have more front-end starters than any other team not named the Angels, and possibly the Oakland A's in the American League, and in baseball in general. And that's the only thing where I rip all the starting rotation, but then I take a look back at baseball, and we're going to talk a lot about the other team, so I don't want to get too into it, and you see that pitching is really thin. There's no team that's in the playoff contention that really has a strong rotation.
Yeah.
Heck, the LA Dodgers may have the best rotation in the National League with Penny Lowe and the way
and
Greg
the
Maddux
is
pitching.
And if you do, every single team has a weakness. They all have a certain hole. You know, that Angel offense doesn't really impress me that much. So as good as the rotation is, that offense, I don't care for it too much. You know, so every team's going to have that weakness. You know, you look at the New York Yankees, their offense is great. But that bullpen has no depth to it, and the rotation's got a couple guys missing. We're going to talk about those guys later on. The rotation has improved, though. It's progressed a little bit over the past week. If they get going, I think it would be very hard for the Sox not to make the playoffs, because I think this offense, as much as I may have criticized it in the past, I still think it's a really good offense. The bullpen, I think, what's your thoughts on the bullpen as a whole? Are there any question marks when it comes to that? Do they seem like they're actually getting into their own, and they're gonna be there for the long run?
There's one question mark, and it's the same question mark that comes with our starting rotation: execution. Because on paper, our bullpen better than any bullpen in baseball.
Stop.
I can say that with ease. Because when you're throwing out the way McDougal right now, nasty. I mean, the pitches he's making, nasty. Thornton, with the confidence he has, the easy 98-mile-an-hour, 97-mile-an-hour fastball he throws, nasty. Bobby Jenks, nasty. David Riske has to be as good of a one of your last men in the bullpen as you could possibly have, as a guy coming out in the sixth inning.
Yeah.
You have Brandon McCarthy, inconsistent. And I'm sick of seeing people sit there and say Garcia can't go, you know, pull him after four innings. Because a lot of people were saying to pull Garcia after four innings yesterday. And bottom line, if Ozzie Guillen makes a habit out of pulling his starters in the fourth inning of baseball games, we will lose a lot more games than we win. That's just stupid managing. You have to give your pitchers a chance. Now, Ozzie may give them a little too much rope at times to hang themselves, but you got to at least give your pitchers a chance to battle and do their thing. Because if you're using your bullpen in the fourth inning of ball games, when you're playing a stretch of 24
exactly.
consecutive games, you are going to lose a lot of games.
And I actually want to get, later on when we get into the upcoming schedule, I want to get back to the bullpen. But let's go to the offense. Brian Anderson, you know, he's been slowly making progress all year. And, you know, every once in a while he'll go back into a little funk. But overall, he's been making some decent progress. And this past series, these past couple series with the Yankees and the Tigers, he's come up with some pretty key hits.
Yeah, he's been – we've harped on it all season long that he needs to be out there every single day. I mean, I think one of my biggest critics of Ozzie Guillen all season, if I could put one thing on him, is the fact that Rami Kohiak has played – way too much in center field, because he hurts his team a lot more than his offense helps us. And Mikowiak's been great at the plate all season long.
Yeah.
Yet he's still a major, major weakness, and our team is a lot worse Brian Anderson is not in center field.
If you have an injury that takes out a Creedy or takes out a Konerko or a Tomy, and you're lacking offense at one point, and you want to get Mikowiak out there in center, that's fine, you know, because you're looking for offense, and Mikowiak's going to bring you in that. But the Sox problem is not coming that they don't have a 290 hitter at the bottom of the order. That wasn't their problem. Defensively, they could use that help, and that's why Anderson should be out there. But we've talked about that plenty of times. But sticking with Anderson alone, he's shoring up his swing, which happened weeks ago, and he just looks a little bit more confident at the plate.
Yeah, he's confident. Now, he's still got a long ways
yes,
to go,
no,
and he's still got a
no
lot
question.
To do. You can see that good pitchers still can get Brian Anderson out pretty easily.
Yes.
However, he's made a lot of adjustments. He's gotten rid of his hole for the most part, and he's making progress. And that's what you want to see out of a young player.
And
I mean, the type of defense this guy plays is insane. He has big hits. That's the thing. He doesn't seem to back down. He has that attitude and mentality that he's willing to make the big hit. He has the big hit in Saturday's game where he knocks in two runs. Then Sunday, and it may not have really meant anything, but it was a nice insurance run. I think we got out of it when Anderson dropped the bunt, got the runner in.
Yeah.
Over, and we got another run out of the inning.
I really think the thing that could kind of be a big thing for maybe the team as a whole when you're talking about the offense is, if you're looking at this offense of the Sox, Brian Anderson is the guy you're worried about the least. You're not worried about him. Okay, you're still even worried about Pizzetti because if he gets on, you got guys behind him. There's more focus on everybody else in the lineup. When a guy like Brian Anderson comes up, you're going to see them throwing more pitches over the plate because they do not want to get him on base. Because you get him on base, you could cause a whole bunch of problems. So I could see, potentially over these next 2 months, especially as they start playing these key teams, they're gonna not really have a heavy focus on Anderson. They're going to look at his 200 average. They're going to look at his struggles. They're going to take it for granted, and they're going to assume that he's an easy out. And I think he might be able to sneak up on some pitchers who, like I said, who aren't looking at him, they don't have their focus on him.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, he'll have his at-bats like Joe Creedy had for a few seasons where he kind of gives away at-bats. Creedy now doesn't seem to give away at-bats. No. And it takes a long time because to be mentally focused every at-bat, not as easy as it seems in the game of baseball. Yeah. You have a lot of thinking going on. You have a lot of out-thinking of yourself going on. And sometimes you just got to let things be natural. Well, and when you're a young player and you're aggressive, you're struggling, you know, you have all these things in your mind, and you also have a hole in your swing that's real tough. He's making progress. He's showing that he's a strong kid. And he's been great for us. And another guy has been great for. Well, I hear Mario.
I was going to go back.
He has
to your,
another thing to say.
Yeah,
so.
You were going to go back to your point about having focus every single at bat. I believe against Verlander. Verlander, I think threw him 3 straight curveballs in his first at bat. It was either 3 straight curveballs or 3 straight changeups, and didn't throw him a fastball at all. It's an at bat like that, especially early in the game, that could take a young guy like Anderson and throw him off for the next at bat because you haven't even seen a guy who throws 97, 98. So it's a bet like that could really
He has a huge week for us. He helps us win Sunday's game. Huge 3-run base clearing triple with the base or double with the bases loaded. He had the triple earlier in the game. He's basically been a guy that's not afraid to make the clutch hit.
No.
He's played shortstop. He plays second base. He switch hits. He may not draw walks. It's about the only weakness of him. And he may be an inconsistent defensive player, but he's been good for the White Sox. And he's the reason why ESPN just ranked the White Sox as the best bench in baseball.
They didn't mention Glow, though.
Well, they also have the Angels. They listed Juan Rivera and Sean Figgins on the Angels bench. How the White Sox bench, if you count Sean Figgins and Juan Rivera? Juan Rivera, who may be as good of a hitter as anyone in baseball over the last 2 months. Guy has like 16 home runs and maybe even 20 home runs in the last 2 months, pretty much. And Sean Figgins, and yet our bench is better than those two guys? I think not.
Well,
but they're not bench players.
Yeah, but that's the thing. They're playing a little bit more than a normal bench player would anyway, so I guess that's kind of why. I mean, you look at the Sox offense, you look how great the Sox position players are, then you take their bullpen, and then I think that's what's pretty impressive about it, is that as good as their position players are, they still got some pretty solid guys off the bench. Going to Cintron, though, the one thing that's nice about him, and he could be starting for a lot of teams. Now, I'm not going to say most of the teams, but for a lot of teams, he could make the case that he could be a starter. And I think that's what's kind of nice about him, is that he has the capabilities to start, but if not, he's a pretty solid bench player, a guy off the bench. And last week, I wasn't criticizing, but I was one. I brought up the point that he's been struggling. Or maybe, I thought it was on this show that I brought up the point. But I did say at one point he was struggling, looked really bad offensively, and then he comes in this week and has a couple big games. My thing now, we're going to get into Juan Uribe. He did return to the team. He probably got out of Guillen's doghouse, whether it was that or maybe it was an injury that he healed from, who knows. But you have Uribe, you have Cintron. Does Cintron start playing a little bit more shortstop and kind of getting a little more of a platoon situation going there?
I don't think so. I hope not. Because Juan Uribe is way too important to this team at shortstop. And I said it, he has like one bad week, and people are busy writing off Juan Uribe. And Juan Uribe's importance isn't with the bat. It's the fact that he is a premier shortstop when we're talking defensively.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no one that I can say is hands down better than Juan Uribe at shortstop.
No.
I can say Rafael Furcal may have a tad bit better of an arm. No one else has an arm even close to Uribe, though.
And you know what? As lazy as he may be, or I don't even know if lazy is even the right word. I just think at times he just seems to lose focus out there. Even when he doesn't have his focus, he's still better than most guys out there anyway. So, yeah, defensively he's very important to this team. But when you look at Cintron, if he continues to produce offensively like he has and do a decent job at shortstop, I could see him, not that I would necessarily agree with it, but I could see him getting a few more starts in over the course of a week. And then, using Uribe as a defensive replacement in those games.
I do think you may see Gucci take a couple more days off. They may rest Gucci a little more. Give Uribe a day off here and there. Give Creedy a day off here and there. that type of deal I think you may see where he gets some at bats. But I don't think he's going to be single-handedly replacing
No,
Wanderebe.
no,
And
no.
it comes in streaks. Right now, Cintron's hot.
Yeah.
You know, he's been solid all season long, but he's going to get the same amount of time unless Ozzie decides that he hates Wanderebe. And it's very possible because Ozzie Guillen has spent the last 10 days ripping to shreds Wanderebe. And most of it, yes, Wanderebe's had his troubles. But you know what? Wanderebe, when he touches the ball, he 99% of the time, he makes the play. Bottom line, he makes the play. And then he makes the plays no one else can make in baseball.
So I
Because,
mean,
like, all you have to do is
you
watch the
could
World Series
complain, you could
last year.
complain that he's not playing defense up to his capabilities, but it's still pretty damn good. And
Exactly. And people underestimate the fact that the importance Wanderebe brings, because who knows what happens in the World Series if we don't have Wanderebe making that fantastic catch into the seats and then making that throw, which I don't think another shortstop throws out that guy at first base. So that game is extended at that point.
and when you have Tomey and Canerico and Dye and Creedy and Pruszynski in the middle of the lineup, a guy like Uribe, even if he's going to go into his slumps offensively, it's not that important for a team like this. You know, they have enough offense in the middle of this rotation. Obviously, he's getting things together. The bullpen's solid. You know, that defense it could very well be more important than anything else. So, let's get it. September is a couple weeks away, right? September is
Yep.
what, 2 weeks away?
2 weeks or so till September. And we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to try to preview the upcoming September call-ups or possibilities. And I think the only guarantee would be Dustin Hermanson, who the White Sox, I guess, put back on the 15-day disabled list. Hermanson decided to stick around. At last show, we were talking about how we'd have no problems if he wanted to go somewhere else that was going to give him a chance, because the guy's been all guts. He's been all heart. No matter what the Sox asked him to
Yeah.
do, he did
But
it.
I think in his case, I think this is his, I could see this being his last year no matter what, so why would he want to go in another place? If he has a chance to help this team even for a few weeks, you know, if he comes up for 1 week and pitches effectively for 1 week and that 1 week gets the Sox into the playoffs, I could see Dustin Hermanson being a happy man knowing that he contributed, you know, even if it was in a small role.
Yeah, 'cause he's just like that. He's unselfish. Whatever it takes for the team to win, he's willing to do. And for that, you know, I'll always give him credit, because that's all you can ask for out of a player. And when it comes to other call-ups, are there any positions? Because I think we need a third catcher. I think that's obvious
I think that
anytime you
most
go into
teams do that.
September.
I think most teams do that anyway. I think
Yeah,
that's pretty
it
typical
gives you
standard.
flexibility. And there's only one problem: the Charlotte Knights, the Sox AAA affiliate, are going to make the playoffs, barring some monumental collapse. For their first time, it has to be 5 years. I mean, this is a AAA franchise that has been awful in terms of winning. They have been terrible. And finally, they're doing good. And it's kind of an unwritten rule: when a team's doing good, you do not take guys from there. Not in this situation. Because you have agreements, you know, with the Knights, and you try
Yeah.
to keep those
It's only
long-lasting
right. It's
relationships.
only right. But then is there anybody at the double A level who could come up and serve as a backup catcher in emergency situations?
That's the problem. I mean, Chris Stewart is the guy, and he
Yeah.
should be the guy next year replacing Sandy Alomar.
Well, when does the season end? When would the season end for the Knights at the
Right around
latest?
September 1st or so. So you may get him back September 10th or September 11th and get
I
a
think
call up.
I think they would just wait that out then. It's not like a third catcher is nice to have in September, but it's not a big thing. And if you're just gonna have to wait 10 days, I don't think that's that big of a deal. So you know, if they have to wait, even if they have to wait till September 15th to get Chris Stewart in, it's more or less just in emergency situations because the Sox are gonna be in the heat of this race in September, and they're gonna need Pruszynski and all of them are out there.
The only thing that hurts is there's four guys that I think would be perfect fits for this team. And it would be Chris Stewart, Jerry Owens, because he could provide speed off the bench, which is nice to have, just a nice pinch runner.
Yeah.
Sean Tracy, you think he'd be backup, you know, just because you have an arm just in case you need someone, because you have like a doubleheader
Well,
somewhere down the road or
you always
anything.
bring up a couple of pitchers.
And then I would have to imagine they're going to bring up Montero, because he's been up before as well. Plus, you have, you know, guys like Redding that are, you know, semi-experienced. You wonder if maybe he could get a call up. He's been pretty lousy, so I don't see the need for that. Or you even have a Heath Phillips down there. But these are all guys in AAA, so it's kind of tough, because there's a lot of guys that could come out and kind of give the Sox a little bit of extra something off, you know, off the bench and help them in a position of depth down the stretch. Now, the guys probably wouldn't play that much, and it may not factor in anything. But when you're playing 24 straight games, It may be nice, you know, come September 1st, you have a couple extra guys just in case you want to keep someone fresh.
Yeah, I mean, a guy like, you know, Tracy and Montero's roles would be mop-up duties. You know, if you have a game where you're completely destroying a team, which is capable, because if this Sox team, if the rotation pitches games like they did this past week and the offense gets hot, you might have some blowouts. You might have the Sox winning 12-2, and in those cases, you're not really going to want to have guys like Jansen and Thornton get in there, so Montero and Tracy would be of use. And then a guy like Jerry Owens, his speed could help this team big time late in the game, because really, when you look off that Sox bench, Ozuna's the only guy with some speed. If you could have Jerry Owens in there to kind of run in for a Tomey or a Konerko or Pruszynski late in the game, it'd be nice to have that guy off the bench.
Exactly. And what's also nice is you could, you know, conceivably put him in for a catcher, knowing that you have two more catchers on the bench. That's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Because usually teams are very hesitant to pull their catchers for pinch runners because you never know, because you're kind of stuck.
There would be nobody else, though. It would pretty much be four guys. They would expand the roster to 29. You don't see them going up to 30, 32,
no.
And nothing?
Well, Dustin Hermanson, so that would
obviously,
be 30.
Okay, that would be 30 even.
And that's if they did that. I mean, obviously there's a lot of questions. You have like a Lance Broadway. Maybe they make a deal and say, hey, we'll call Lance Broadway up to AAA, and then we can take Sean Tracy or we can take someone else from Charlotte. And maybe they just, you know, they tell Charlotte, hey, are these guys that we could have? We'd like to have one or two of them up, but it's kind of an unwritten rule that you usually don't take in a situation. However,
yeah,
the White Sox are competing for a World Series title. You know, we're competing for the playoffs. So you got to think, in the end, Major League team is more important.
But here's the thing. If you're talking about getting a guy for a 40-man roster, this isn't the playoff roster. These are guys who are just going to help you in a small way.
They could help you get in.
Yeah, but I kind of like what you were saying before. I don't see that happening. I don't think that bringing up Chris Stewart is that big of a thing for him. I think they would rather just wait a few weeks for it anyway.
Well, speaking of a few weeks, we're going to know a lot more about this team, because last season, what did we do? We beat the piss out of the AL Central. And right now, we're going to be playing four consecutive series against the Central. And then we already had, you know, our series with the Tigers.
Royals 4 games, Twins 3 games, Tigers 4 games, then back to the Twins for another 3.
Following that, this is the biggest stretch, you know, this 24-game stretch, and now this part of where it's centrally focused, where we're going to be playing a total of, not counting the 3 games we just played against the Tigers, we're going to be playing 10 of our next 14 games, or I guess you could say 13 of our next 17 games against the teams that are right with us in the thick of things in the AL Central, and as well as the wild card race. So it's going to be big baseball, and it starts with us getting off to a good start here with the Royals.
Yeah.
And the Royals are a pesky team. The Royals are playing a lot better baseball over the last month and a half. They have a good offense right now. They're as good of an offense in baseball the past month and a half. And statistically, and I don't look up statistics very often, it is proven to that. They have a guy, Mark Tejan, or Tien, or whatever the hell you want to call his
he's
name,
been on fire,
who is playing phenomenal.
And well, you know, I really hope that this series, obviously the Sox have to, there's no reason for them not to take 3 games. You're facing a team like the Royals, you should be able to take 3 games out of 4. And to take any less is kind of inexcusable, you know, as that is to say in the case of the Royals. But I don't want to see this to be an 11-10 game, 12-10 games. I think this has to be a chance for the Sox to just completely whip a team for 3-4 games, have a couple blowouts, because I would like to see, going back to the bullpen, this is what I was talking about earlier on, there are two guys in the bullpen who I think need to work, both in terms of just throwing the ball and actually fixing things, and that's Neil Kotz and David Riske. Riske hasn't thrown in a few weeks from what I've seen, or if he's thrown in a few weeks, it's been very sporadic. I think I'd like to see a couple blowouts where you get Riske in the game and you get Neil Kotz in the game to get their work in.
If we could get Neil Kotz straight now, our bullpen would be ridiculous. And it's because right now Kotz is obviously in a funk.
Yeah.
Seems like every time he's out there, he's getting hit. And I think he's going to have to obviously work on a pitch in the offseason, try to get something to kind of change what the hitters are doing against him. But if we could get him back on pace, it would be a really nice thing to have, because that guy is good,
and
he's a rubber arm, and we can use him a lot.
And I'd like to use that series to do that. I don't want to see the series – I don't want to see the Sox being forced to go to Thornton and Jenks late in games, because I think with the Twins and the Tigers right after 10 straight games against them, you're going to need that bullpen. You're going to, especially against that Twins team. You're going to need that bullpen at some point. And if they could possibly get David Rizky some innings to get him some work, because I think the more he sits there, the worse he's going to get. And if you get Kotz figured out, or at least get him some confidence, it'll make things a lot easier going into those 10 games against him.
It would be nice, but we got to admit, I mean, Kansas City Royals are a professional baseball team. In baseball, you never know what's going to happen. So the White Sox are going to have to play good baseball.
Yeah.
Regardless of who you play, you got to play good baseball.
Yeah.
The matchups, we have John Garland versus Mark Redmond today, or tonight. We have Javier Vasquez versus Ronaldo Hernandez tomorrow. Wednesday's games, Contreras versus Brunero. Brunero's 0-1. And then we have a rematch with Burley versus Odalis Perez in the series finale at afternoon game. So those are the matchups. We'll see what happens. The offense should be able to hit. But, you know, shoulda, woulda, coulda. You better execute. Just because we're playing the Royals, you got to play good baseball. And this is going to be a time where we could capitalize, because the Boston Red Sox are going to be playing the Detroit Tigers. The Red Sox just had a big sweep over the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
And maybe they've gained a little bit of momentum. And you have, I guess some fans could say it's a dilemma whether they should root for the Tigers, whether we should root for the Red Sox in this series. And to me, it's easy. You go for the division until the division can't be reached.
Yeah.
And I said it last week, even though I've been down on this team, I said you got to go because you have the most control against your division, because you're playing your divisional teams more than anyone else.
Here's even more. Which team do you fear more in the long run? Do you fear the Red Sox or do you fear the Tigers? I don't fear the Red Sox. I don't care for that team. Offensively, they're very dangerous, but that pitching staff, I still don't care for it. I still don't care for that bullpen too much. I do not care for this team at all. So even if it was close of you know, you're right in the division race and you're right in the wild card race, I'd like to see the Red Sox win, because they're facing the Yankees right after. And the way the Yankees are playing right now, and the way they historically have had the Red Sox number, you have to like their chances, especially playing five games where you might see the Yankees completely whip the Red Sox out of the race anyway. So even if the Red Sox take two out of three from the Tigers, they could easily just fall apart this coming weekend against the Yankees, and things are back to normal. So I want to see the Red Sox take two out of three from the Tigers.
Yeah, I think we have different reasons, but I'm definitely a fan. I'm going to be rooting for the Red Sox. Although, in general, I like to see in this type of series where I like to see the two teams just beat up on each other. You know, just kill each other's pitching and go into the bullpens and just really just put a bind on them. And then you have the Minnesota Twins. And
facing the Indians.
Yeah, and the Indians, they just had a big game against the Kansas City Royals. They've been playing decent. The problem is they have the worst bullpen. God, it's pathetic.
But the one thing about the American League is you have teams like the Indians who, even though their records aren't good, they
can win games.
Yeah,
Any given day, they can play as good.
They have the offense to just completely destroy you, and you have no chance then. So it's not going to be an easy game for the. It's not going to be an easy series for the Minnesota Twins at all, although they do have Santana going on Tuesday. Who they won't have going for a while is Francisco Liriano.
My favorite pitcher to watch in baseball.
Francisco? Although I don't care for him too much.
Although you could see in that game.
Called that, so you know, I did call the injury.
Twins management should have seen something because he was not finishing his pitches. And if that guy was in that much pain, you got to hope he'd say something. And I'm not going to put a knock, because I think the Twins are as good of a run organization in baseball, considering their budget, considering their owner. Polat is an absolute prick. You know, he's a terrible owner. And all things considered, you know, they're top-notch. But you'd think someone would have noticed that he was not finishing his pitches
mechanics,
at all.
I don't like his mechanics at all. And I said this 3-4 weeks ago. I said his mechanics are bad. I could see him getting hurt in 3-4 weeks. And sure enough, in 3-4 weeks, he got hurt. I don't like his mechanics. I think he's got a lot of work to do. At the same time, I do think he has great stuff, and I think if he learns how to just make a couple tweaks, he could be another Santana, and that would make that rotation unbelievable with those two guys. But with Santana going Tuesday, we're going to be facing him the final game in that weekend series against Sox and Twins. They're playing this weekend. We're going to see Santana on Sunday. Saturday it'll be Radke. Friday it'll be, what's his name?
Boof Bosner. So you better hope. I mean, fast forward to Friday. If there was any key game we have to win in that series, it's Friday's game. Because if we don't win Friday's game, we have the possibility of facing a sweep.
Yeah.
I mean, when we're facing a rookie pitcher and then we're facing a Brad Rackey who just had a shutout against the Toronto Blue Jays, or he threw 7 shutout innings or so.
He's got into a rhythm, it looks like.
Yeah, he's pitching good. And then you have Johan, who is the Chicago White Sox kryptonite. I know we won a game against him earlier this season, and it seems about like the only game, because he's about the only guy, and I've said it before, where when I know we're facing Santana, I pencil in a loss. I don't pencil in we have a chance. I pencil in a loss. And I'm absolutely stunned with my jaw dropped if we actually win the game. So, basically, the Sox are going to have to play good and do their thing against the Royals, because we may not have the matchups in our favor this weekend against the Tiger or the Twins.
Well, I'm trying to check to see exactly who would the Sox have going up. It would be I think it would be Vasquez who would be going up against him, I believe. Would it be Javier Vasquez? Let me see.
Freddy Garcia, Boof Bosner, Friday. Saturday would be John Garland versus Brad Radke. Sunday start would have Javier Vasquez against Johan Santana. So, there's your matchups. And then Contreras would again be opening the series with the Detroit Tigers, with Burley going, and then Garcia. So that would be the matchups for the Tigers. And then we have a fourth game, so then Garland would get in there.
The Sox, I think the goal for the Sox, considering, you know, the Tigers are facing the Red Sox and bearing, you know, them taking care of their business, I believe the Tigers play the Rangers after, so that's not a tough, it's not an easy series by any means either. I think ideally, as long as the Sox take care of their business, I could see them being three games out going into that series. And I think that would actually be a nice thing if they were three games out going into the 21st.
Hey, they're definitely close enough now where the Detroit Tigers cannot breathe easy. They see the defending world champions right behind them on their heels. They also know that the Minnesota Twins, albeit I do not think the Minnesota Twins can catch the Detroit Tigers without Francisco Liriano,
no,
are right there on their heels. However, they got to be happy the fact that Chicago and Minnesota are going to play each other just prior to that series, and considering the matchups, the Minnesota should be the favorites pitching-wise in that series. So, I mean, anything can happen conceivably. It's just about the White Sox going out there, putting up quality starts, because if they do that, as John Crux said yesterday in Baseball Tonight, the Chicago White Sox are the best team in baseball if they get quality starts out of their starters. And I think it's hard to argue that with their offense.
It is at this point. And I think the sweep against the Tigers, you know, puts them 5.5 out. I think it changes the entire American League now, because you have the Yankees and Red Sox. That was more or less just a battle between that division and the wild card. Now there's three spots that are open. It's going to make things interesting.
Yeah, this is as good of a stretch run as I can think of, because you have the NL, you have about six teams right in the thick of things for the wild card. You have the NL West up for grabs. The Central's a little bit up for grabs in the NL. And then the American League, you have the AL West. You have a little bit of a battle there, although Oakland's been playing good baseball. Then you have the Central Division and the Eastern Division rivalries. And, I mean, much as I slam Red Sox-Yankees, it's a great rivalry. And the Yankees are right now playing a bit over their heads, so the Red Sox could very well come up into things. And then you got the wild card race, where you got teams like the White Sox, Yankees, and Red Sox, three very, you know, very talented teams, plus the Minnesota Twins, all right there in the thick of things. So this is going to be great baseball. There's going to be a lot of weeks where all of a sudden the whole tables are turned, because quite frankly, it's a game of momentum. The Los Angeles Dodgers lose all these games, then they win 15 out of 16. They're ahead in the division. They're rolling. And one of my best games I've seen all season was last night on ESPN, where they went into the 10th inning. Greg Maddux threw like 76 pitches or something.
60, I don't even think, he threw 60, 68 pitches
yeah,
in 8 innings.
Innings.
How he did not come out for the ninth, I don't understand.
Well, they pitch hit for him.
Okay.
So it's the whole NL
pitches.
Thing. And that was an unbelievable game. And then another one of the Dodgers rookies, Russ Martin, hits a home run in the 10th inning. They win 1-0. That, my friends, is baseball. That was a beautiful thing to watch. And Greg Maddux, Hall of Famer, one of the 10 best pitchers of all time, that was a fun game to watch. And Greg Maddux right now is looking like the best acquisition of the trade deadline, because he's had three starts that have put the Dodgers in position to win games. And he's brought a lot to that staff.
Yeah.
So I give Ned Colletti a tip my cap to the man for that move.
I tip my cap to you, Ned Colletti.
And I'm not wearing a hat. And best of all, it means the Colorado Rockies are not going to win the division.
Hold up. You never know.
Because they have their 15 out of 16 streak coming up, don't they?
Well, but I'm saying, hey, this is easy as the Dodgers have won. They could get into a little slump here, and you could see the Rockies sneak up in, you know? You never
Tis
know.
True. Tis
you
true.
You never know.
And despite Mario, the show is going to be ending. However, I told them I was frustrated with Chicago Bear fans, so I am going to sound off on a White Sox show about everyone that wants to slam Rexamus Grossman for three freaking series or four series of a preseason game week one. Week one preseason. Yes, the Bears look like piss. Yes, they play crappy. Yes, Brian Griese was great. He looked great against second team defenses. But you know what? Every quarterback, no matter how good, no matter how bad, is going to have a bad day. And folks, it's a preseason. We got 4 more weeks of preseason football left from the Bears. So please, cool your heels. Check out talkbears.com. If you're going to whine about stuff like that, don't come. But if you want to be a legitimate Bears fan, sitting there excited, wanting to discuss the positives and negatives of all the preseason games leading up to the regular season, discussing anything else football, check it out. TalkBig10.com. You should see it up in a day or two. We're just having a little bit of server issues. We're going to have a high school site up. It was supposed to be up before I left town. Not going to be. It'll be about another 10 days, so that's up. Obviously, Chicago Bulls, it's off season right now. Doesn't look like they're going to get another big man. The thing I think they need to be pushed over the top because Drew Gooden just signed a contract to stay in Cleveland today. And then you have the Chicago Blackhawks. I mean, it's hockey. If you're a fan of it, check it out. TalkBeehawks.com, TalkBulls.com, TalkBears.com, soon-to-be TalkBig10.com, and soon-to-be TalkPrepSports.com. And, of course, this is this is Jason. I just said this is Mario, but it's not. Oh, yes. By millions of dollars, I'm going to be the next Mark Cuban, and I'm going to buy the Chicago White Sox, and I'm going to take over as a GM and run the whole thing into the ground, thinking I'm great. And that is it for the show.
Yeah, we're looking. We'll probably be back in probably 2 weeks because we're going to be out of town later on this week. We're going to be going to New York and Baltimore and Philadelphia, so we're not going to be back here next Monday. Possibly next week sometime, but I know I won't be able to do it, so we'll have to figure that out.
You may have, and everyone, you might as well start crying now, you may have a guest appearance replacing Mario Scalise of Ernstie. Alex Ernst, a.k.a. Heads.
Ernstie,
yeah, that's what we call him.
Ernstie, huh?
Ernstie Bernstie.
Ernstie Bernstie.
So that's it for SoxTalk on the Air. We hope you enjoy the show. Any feedback, send it to us at contact@futuresox.com. And hopefully we'll have another winning week, another good week, another week where we can gain some ground on the Detroit Tigers. And we'll have more to talk to you in a week or 2 weeks or however we feel like it. But we thank you for listening.